Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Nice. It's kind of like here. Mountains, okay. Mountains, hills. The Ozarks are there, you know.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Not the Netflix series. But
no,
the,
not Jason Bateman.
No, he doesn't actually live there. And that's based out of Missouri, which is further north.
You ever watch season 2?
Than Arkansas. I'm like halfway through it, and I don't know. It's just, it's not doing it for me. It hasn't sucked me in. That's how I know if I'm really going to like a show, if it can just suck me right in. And I can watch a whole season in one day.
On 1340 WKGN.
That's the key for me. You gotta take me and suck me right up into your television program. Yeah, Chad Morris, he's beaten Colorado State, Portland State. Last year they lost to Colorado State. Good Lord. How awful can one coach be?
He's not good, man. Hour 2, kicking off in the Fan Run Studios, Hour 2 headlines. What do you got for us?
I'm going to start with kind of some tough news, some sad news coming from Knoxville. I don't know if you guys saw the shooting at Austin East that took place. Just kind of want to wish some condolences, some prayers out that way. Multiple victims apparently injured during the shooting. So really tough stuff over at Austin East just down the road. So we'll see if anything, what else kind of comes about that. I guess they're still investigating. You guys seen any other reports coming out of that at all?
I mean,
yeah, I don't look into stuff like this.
There was a drop-off shooting like 2 hours later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of shootings with Austin East, man. There's something weird. Like, there's the things I've seen is people talking about like some gang from Detroit moving a bunch of people down here. And that's why basically kind of infiltrating that community. And that's why there's been now 5 shootings, I believe, involved with Austin East.
Since the semester started.
Yeah,
pretty sure.
Like just this year, or just really? just like this calendar year, or
yeah.
Since like school,
just since this like spring semester
really?
Started. Yeah,
okay.
Like I remember like back the story in January, and February it was like 3 in 3 weeks or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. It was,
so again, I don't know. Just that some of the thoughts I've seen people share is that they are all related, and it comes from.
I feel like I've not even heard of these other shootings. That's just how. It's numbed to it.
It was
kind
a bunch.
Become,
like, there was a ton of school, like the school bus got shot at one point and stuff like that. Oh, really? Yeah. Mm. There was a whole bunch of stuff like that been going on over there.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely nuts. We also have the stuff going on in Minnesota, which is absolutely crazy as well. We have the Timberwolves game. We had a couple games get postponed, rescheduled. Apparently, Timberwolves Nets, they'll be playing this afternoon at 4 o'clock. They rescheduled that game. There'll be no fans in attendance, nothing like that. So we'll see. I don't know. The Wild, have they rescheduled their game? Yeah, I haven't seen anything.
Seen any updates on that. But
yeah, we'll see if anything comes about that here in the next couple hours, if they decide to reschedule that or what. But, yeah.
The Twins are playing a doubleheader today.
Oh, they're playing a doubleheader
today?
Sure. Okay.
They're playing the Red Sox.
Gotcha. All right. Some more positive news, some more positive headlines. We had 5 years ago today, I guess kind of sad too, honestly, but 5 years ago today, it was Kobe's retirement moment, guys, when he had 60 points. He dropped his 60th point in that game 5 years ago today. Wow, crazy. Like I said, it was his finale. The great video, Complex Sports tweeted out of him. You got the, you know, family waving at him. He gives him a little bit of a wink and that little grin on his face. Sad, sad stuff, man. Did you guys watch the grand finale for Kobe?
Yeah.
I had DVR and I watched it a couple times. I watched it, you know, a year or so after it held up.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool to see.
Right. Did you, I heard a story, you hear the story about Gordon Hayward, who like intentionally jumped in the free throw line on purpose just in case he missed that last free throw. Have you heard that story before?
I've heard that story too.
I've heard people say that, but I don't know if it's ever been confirmed.
I don't know if he ever confirmed it. I don't know about that, but I've heard that. Like, I feel like multiple kind of people have said that, or maybe an interview with him and he said something like that. But yeah, I always thought that was kind of a cool thing, cool little thing by Gordon Hayward, making sure Kobe had his moment. I want to get back to Julian Edelman, because the debate, you know, we talked about his retirement a little bit, and the debate is he a Hall of Famer? That's kind of been the question I wanted to kind of ask you guys. Julian Edelman, do you consider him a Hall of Famer? Because a lot of people were kind of on both sides. A lot of clutch moments, to say the least, a lot of big moments in big games, but, you know, the stats also not really all there. I saw the comparisons to, like, Hines Ward, who can't make a final ballot of a Hall of Fame here in the last 5 years of the voting. And, of course, Hines Ward's stats a lot better. He has, like, 400 more catches, double the yards.
Who's saying he's a Hall of Famer?
There's some that they're making the argument.
He has 36 career touchdowns and 6,800 yards. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he's nowhere close. He's not a Hall of Famer. It was a cool story of making it.
I saw all the questions on Twitter. I mean, people were proposing
from who,
the question.
Like Patriots fans? You follow a bunch of Patriots fans for some reason?
No, I don't.
Mean, he's had, you know, 3 seasons of over 1,000 yards. He's never had more than 1,117 yards in a season. That's his career high. He's only had 7 touchdowns once.
I mean, NFL CBS literally tweeted, is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer? This is a question.
Well, what are the results? Because I feel 3-time
Super Bowl champ. He's a Super Bowl MVP. 6,000 yards. 156th all-time. 36 touchdowns, like you said. I'm not the one proposing the question, okay? CBS is.
Where does 36 touchdowns rank all-time for among receivers?
It is tied for 261st.
Okay, no. What are we talking about?
Super Bowl MVP, though. How many receivers have won Super Bowl MVP?
That catch against the Falcons was pretty cool.
It was pretty lucky.
it was lucky?
It wasn't lucky. It should have got picked. Who did it bounce the hands right off of his hands? Was it Robert Alford?
Your boy Keanu Neal?
Keanu
Neal has like 2 career interceptions. He can't catch the
ball. Either way, Edelman dove and made a big play.
I mean, it was lucky, though.
Yeah. I mean, his part of it wasn't lucky. Him making the catch wasn't lucky.
But the whole process was lucky.
The ball should have been intercepted, yes. But Edelman's part was not lucky. He dove and caught the ball. He made a big-time play.
What year
did he win MVP? When they beat the Seahawks? Like, when did he win MVP? When was he Super Bowl MVP?
What year was it?
Did he win MVP?
Because he didn't win against whenever Brady led that comeback.
It was the time they beat the Rams,
Rams
right? Yeah, because he had like 100 yards that game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Offensive
one of the worst Super Bowls of all time.
Okay.
That was one of the better Super Bowls.
I watched like 30 seconds of
defense.
That game,
so love me some defense.
I watched like 30 seconds.
What are you talking about, Draven? That Super Bowl was terrible.
That was not terrible. The defensive scheme in that game to shut down that explosive Rams offense. It was 13-3. It's a great defensive battle. The punch out by Stephon Gilmore, the breakup at the end on Brandon Cooks. Man, defense. Give me defense.
Well, yeah, Brandon Cooks.
He did win MVP. What was that, 2019?
He is not an MVP.
Or Super Bowl.
He is not a Hall of Famer. No.
Okay. Don't act like this has been debated. This has been debated.
I'm not blaming you. It's just a stupid conversation.
Also, you know, it was pretty impressive, the rise that Julian Edelman went on as well, you know, seventh round, quarterback.
He maxed out 7 touchdowns.
Okay. I want to propose a question again. How many receivers have won Super Bowl MVP? I was curious about that. Has there been any others?
It's Antonio Holmes, didn't he win it? Whenever,
yeah, he did.
Whenever the Steelers won the Super Bowl,
yeah, he did.
Didn't Troy Brown win one? Didn't Troy Brown win one?
I don't know about that.
I think Troy Brown won one for the Patriots. Did he not?
One of the first 3?
Yeah.
Holmes did win it. Hines Ward won it as well. Okay, we've had a few. Deion Branch
I was thinking of instead of Troy Brown. Deion Branch, yeah.
I think that's it.
What year did Branch win it?
That
was like 04 or 03, somewhere in there?
Yeah, it was 04.
04.
Yeah, because Hines Ward, back-to-back receivers actually won it. Hines Ward won it the year after when they beat the Seahawks. Okay. So I guess there's been a few. Still, I mean, it's pretty impressive.
I feel like we named him. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Desmond Howard, he got one as well. I don't know if he'd even be considered a wide receiver. He had like 2 kick return touchdowns, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or a punt return, a kick return, maybe. I don't know. Okay.
Either way.
Jerry Rice got one as well.
Oh, did he? Didn't look that far.
Yeah, back in the 80s. Okay. John Riggins got one in 82, the fullback of the Washington Redskins.
Wait, what?
Yep.
What was his stats?
I don't know. Good for him, though. Yeah, good for him.
Monster. You said John Riggins, right?
Yeah,
he had 166 yards that game and a touchdown.
Okay.
One hell of a fullback, huh?
Well deserved.
Goodness.
Okay.
Fullbacks back then, huh? A lot different. Want to get to what is Luka Doncic talking about? By the way, I don't know if you guys saw a cool little him juggling the basketball, kicking it around.
I saw him get their ass kicked.
Bouncing it off his shoulder. Then he catches
that
it.
All the time.
He's at that corner, like where you're behind the goal and you're shooting it over the backboard and he shoots it. Just nothing but net.
Steve
like,
Nash used to do
that. Like, oh my gosh,
Steve Nash
man. Kick
the balls in like that from half
well,
the 3-point line.
Still, Luka, man. He's awesome. But I don't understand.
I'm getting
tell us more about
talking.
How you,
like
how you
really
kiss someone.
And that kind of gets to my point as well. What about him and Mark Cuban both? Criticizing the play-in games. What are they talking about? There's a great chance they're going to be in the play-in games.
That's why
they're criticizing.
They're criticizing because they're going to be a 7 seed having to play in the play-in game. Because
I guess so. Yeah.
Six.
But I mean, there's a chance they could also drop off and not be in the playoffs, and they would need the playoff game, but play-in game.
They wouldn't have to go that
but
far.
He did say, "I don't understand the idea of the play-in tournament. You play 72 games to get in the playoffs. Then maybe you lose two in a row and you're out of the playoffs. I don't see the point of
hey,
that.
How about you just don't lose, Luka?
Yeah, I bet you don't lose, or do you know maybe finish in the top 6?
Or be like the Hawks and finish in the top 4, you know?
That could be, you know, something to consider.
Yeah.
Simply don't play in the playing game if you don't want to.
Yeah, but just be better.
Be in it.
Elevate your teammates a little.
Maybe don't lose 2 games. Yeah, just what are we crying about? Mark Cuban voted in favor of the playing game. Like, what is he?
Yeah, he also complained about it as well.
He voted in favor of it. What is he crying about? In hindsight, this approach was an enormous mistake, he says.
Yeah, that was the quote. I was looking for the quote he officially had. Yeah. So what
sounds
do we?
Like, sounds like Luka's already setting the stage.
What do we think though? Is the playing games a little, you know,
I mean,
a little much?
I think the playing game is helping. It'll help with kind of combat tanking because you already saw like with somebody like the Chicago Bulls, who could have easily tanked. They're like, nope, we're going to try to get in this play-in situation. Same as Toronto, they could easily, you know, they're 12 games under 500. If they were trying to chase the 8th seed, they'd be 6.5 games back. They'd probably be like, okay, time to start tanking. But instead, these teams are going to try to, you know, play a little bit longer and see if they can get the playing game and, you know, win a couple games and then get, you know, some home playoff money.
Okay.
I think it's a good thing. Now, you know, if you have to play 2 games in back-to-back days or whatever Cuba's, you know, complaining about, I don't know what – talking about the compressed schedule and high usage players. I don't know what he's sad about. Maybe you should have set Luka for the first playing game. If that's the case, just try to beat the 8 or 9 seed, bro.
I do think it's a little ridiculous if the 7th seed has a, you know, 4 or 5 game advantage and they still have to play in the playing game. I do think that's a little ridiculous. I think it should be if they're within a certain amount of games. Isn't that how they did it last year in the bubble, right? Didn't you have to be within a certain amount of games to play in that final playoff game?
Yeah.
Or the play-in game?
That was for the 8-9 matchup. You had to be within 4.5 games.
Wouldn't you kind of agree with that? Because, I mean, like, what if the 7th seed
is... But they added that half of the year, though. Didn't they?
They did.
Didn't
they added the games
like,
back.
Didn't they add that, like, in the bubble specifically?
Yeah.
To combat for the, you know, not having 82 games. Because like, they didn't want teams to, like, you know, that thought they would have had a chance to catch up, not have time to catch
up.
Well,
I mean, look at the Phoenix Suns. They won every single game and still didn't get in.
But I'm saying if they would have gotten to play, well, that was unfair for them, yeah. But if they would have gotten to play another 15 games, they might have caught them.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate that you could go 8-0 and not get in. What was the point of sitting us down there?
Really?
I guess it motivated them to go get Chris Paul, though.
Yeah. Got some attention as well, maybe. You
got
know.
Devin Booker feeling good, so, I mean, it was successful for them.
Right. I think you guys are just hating on Luka. I think this is the Luka Trey rivalry.
What am I hating on? I think
every time you've said this before, every time Luka has a cool highlight, you're a little bit of a hater. That's okay. It's fine.
No, I mean
it's fine.
Again,
are you calling his pregame stuff a cool highlight?
That's what I'm saying. Like that's what it is. It's every single thing he does. He juggled a ball. You know how many people can do that? So many people can do that.
You don't see it very often. You don't see LeBron James out here juggling a ball and then throwing it up over the backboard.
Where are you hyping up Trey sitting in a chair and shooting from outside?
You know what I'm talking about? The corner shot.
Not a hard shot.
What are you talking about? Have you ever shot that shot?
Yeah, I could go there.
Did you see the video? How far he was from the goal? Get out of here.
I mean, he's a professional
athlete.
I can go make a 15-foot jumper from behind the backboard. It's not hard.
Does anybody else want to chime in?
You ever played horse? That's a horse shot.
Have you ever played horse?
That is not an
easy
shot.
That's a horse shot.
I bet you would make it like 1 out of 10 shots.
Okay, let's go do it.
Okay.
One out of ten shots. I guarantee you, yes. I'll make more than
and
one out of ten.
And I want you to shoot right where Luka is shooting.
Well, I don't know where he's shooting. Where's he shooting at? Like, if he's like from way out of bounds behind the 3-point line, no. But I'm saying I can stand on the baseline and make a shot over the backboard from like 10 to 12 feet.
I'm saying you can't do this right here. Juggle off the shoulder. Catch, shoot,
okay,
over the backboard.
No, I can't do that.
Nothing
no,
but that.
No, I can't. That's,
okay, that was the only point I was trying to make.
But you didn't really describe how far away he was. Like, he's a good 8 feet past the baseline.
A little bit, yeah.
I'm picturing him just like on the baseline.
He's also a professional.
Like, out of bounds.
If it plays basketball for a living.
Yeah, and please note, I wasn't saying I could do what Luka did. But I'm just saying, like, that's...
Well, you guys, professional athlete. We don't see athletes doing this all the time. We don't see NBA players doing this all the time.
Trae Young sits in the chair and shoots from.
Yeah, what are we
appreciate from the Shaq. Like Shaq used to shoot, like sit on the out of bounds thing and shoot threes out there. We're talking, these guys are so good. You're impressed because a basketball player made a basketball shot. These guys are professionals. They're so good. Oh, look, Luka threw the ball behind his head and made a pass. They're professional basketball players. That pass, it's simple. Just throw the ball behind it.
But if Trey does this, Hayden, it's a whole other story.
When have you ever heard me talk about Trey's pregame stuff until now?
Because he's not doing anything like this. Because I don't see him making a bench barstool and shoots a three
before every game. That's because Barstool loves Luka like you do. They both, you and them, want to kiss him on the mouth.
Just a bunch of white guys celebrate Luka. That's all it is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Dallas fans over here celebrating Luka.
Mm-hmm.
You and Rick.
Do you like me some Luka? Crazy. Impressive.
You don't hear me talk about how it plays almost ever. I'm a wins guy. Mm-hmm. I'm a get it done, win the game guy. You don't hear me talk about
David came
stats.
In here the past few days to talk about a dunk and a losing effort and a pregame highlight and another losing effort. Those are his highlights of this week.
Really scraping the barrel here. Draven, not hard to impress you. Just look cool and lose, and that's good enough for you. You are a Cowboys fan, after all. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Any of you boys got any doggy coin?
Do no. not.
You guys seeing what's happening with it?
I sold all of it.
It's going to the moon.
Uh-oh.
Is it at $2 yet? Or a tenth of a cent or something?
No, but it's up over 9.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's up to 0.09.
Oh, no.
People are pumped right now. Uh-oh. The Doge.
What about you? You still got some?
I never had any. I never could get any.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It took
right.
a while for them to get me. Like, whenever everybody's trying to buy it, I signed up for those apps. It took them forever to give it to me. By the time I actually got it, I was like, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lost the thrill, huh?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. New mock draft, Cam.
What narrative is he trying to push now?
Oh, I thought you were ready for your two rounder. You ready?
I got a two rounder.
I'm just kidding. You got so excited.
I know.
Any big upgrades in your two rounder? Any big changes?
No. I just kind of had. I think I had the Falcons trading out of 4. And then I had Washington trading up. To get Lance.
Which, you think Washington's going to try to get Lance? Okay.
Yeah.
I guess this is whom's? Whose is this? This is Kuiper's. Kuiper's new two-round mock. No surprise, 3 quarterbacks, the first 3 to go, including Mac Jones at number 3. They got Miami moving back up to number 4 with Atlanta.
Why? Why would they do that?
Says they want to get Kyle Pitts.
Sure. Whoever wrote this one, yeah.
I don't know. Miami also gets to keep his pick at 18, so I guess they would just basically move up. What do they do? Like a second round pick or something to move up 2 spots with Atlanta? I wouldn't imagine the price would be very big to move up 2 spots if you're Atlanta. Like, would you? Like, what would the asking price be to move up from 6 to 4?
Yeah, it'd probably be a second rounder, probably their second rounder this year, and then maybe like a future second rounder.
Yeah, I was listening to people discuss this yesterday within NFL circles on a podcast, and they said they still think Miami has moved, like they wanted to move back up from 12 to 6 because they think at 6 they'll still be in the catbird seat with teams wanting a quarterback.
No, I think they will too.
That they could potentially trade the number 6 pick to move back and get even more picks than they got from the they had to give up on the Eagles, I guess, to move up back up to 6. But with this, they got Sewell at 5 to the Bengals. You know, them fixing that offensive line. The Falcons, who traded back to number six, getting Trey Lance.
Hey.
Okay. Is Fields still on the board at that point?
He is.
Yes, indeed.
Sir, you should take Fields. But whatever.
It does seem like the if a team's going to trade Trey Lance, it does seem like people are like, well, this guy isn't going to be ready to play year one. So look for a team that already has a quarterback to take him, whether it be Atlanta, who could play Matt Ryan another year, or or Carolina. Well, I guess they probably wouldn't, but if they did, you know, they could play Bridgewater or Darnold. San Francisco, if they were interested in him.
Yeah.
Somewhere where he could sit for a year.
What was the GM?
Washington as well.
Atlanta's GM, didn't he say? Atlanta's in a prime position to stack good quarterbacks. Wasn't that the quote?
Yeah. No, he's been on the record. Yeah. It seems like he's the guy that wants to take the quarterback. Arthur Smith's the one that kind of is just like, oh, no, we should just upgrade other places at the moment.
Since the 2006 draft, so we're looking at what? I guess 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
Only six quarterbacks have been taken with fewer than 20 college starts. You want to guess? See if you can guess any of them.
How many?
Six.
Six.
Since 2006.
Mitch Trubisky.
Fewer than 20 starts. Yeah. Trubisky leads the way at number 13. Or with 13, excuse me.
Jeez.
Which he is awful, so it's not good if you're Trey Lance.
Not a good sign.
I think a one-year pops. You said under how many starts?
20.
20?
Fewer than 20.
I guess Burrow beats that.
Burrow beats that?
Barely.
We played for 2 years.
Okay.
I know that's
I guess I do play 12 games seasons.
I'd say he comes in, around 24, 25. Yeah. Or he had 15 this last year, and I think, 13 the year before? So he came in 28.
We'll say.
At least.
We'll say, no, Watson played the whole 4 years.
No guesses. You guys done?
It's tough.
I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head.
You're on track with a one-year pop. Maybe no bigger one-year pop than Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah. That
14. So I'd say that's a successful guy. If you're Trey Lance, like, hey, I'm him. Cam Newton, that's me.
Yeah.
14 starts.
Say, no, Tua played more years.
Dwayne Haskins?
Haskins, yeah.
14 starts. Probably don't want to be compared to him. Or this guy number with 16 starts. A little bit surprising, actually. This guy only had 16 starts. Mark Sanchez, the Sanchez.
Okay.
Oh, 16 starts?
At USC, that's what it says.
Hmm.
But you know he came back that 1 year after he should have probably went pro, right? Yeah. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Did he get injured? Or?
I was going to say maybe.
He might have got hurt.
Or maybe he only took over halfway through that season. Or no, he didn't come back. Didn't USC want him to come back his last year and he went pro instead and then Pete Carroll got mad?
I think that's what it was.
That was right before Pete Carroll got fired, right?
Around that time.
Yeah.
It would have been basically that, because
he didn't really get fired, did he?
I mean, when was Sanchez? He was there, the late 2000s?
Yeah.
Like 09, 10, somewhere around there?
Yeah.
He was drafted in 09, so yeah. Carroll left, in 09, right?
Yeah, I thought so. Somewhere around there.
So, yeah, he played, it says freshman year he played 6 games.
Yeah, this doesn't look right, because it says he played 27 games on his, stats.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they didn't count some of those games because he only threw 7 passes in his first year, so I doubt.
Yeah, I guess those none of those technically
those
starts.
Counted, yeah. All right, so the Sanchez, not good. Kyler Murray
at
17, I would say that's a plus so far. So far you got Newton and Murray that are pluses.
And you would want to compare to him and be like, hey, the athleticism too, you know I'm a running guy too,
And then last guy on the list with 19 starts, top 5 quarterback in the NFL, Ryan Tannehill. So I'd say that's one you could look at either way. You could say, well, he's shown some skills, but at the same time,
Be in the right place.
Got to be in the right place, got to be in the right system, and there might be some growing pains there.
Okay, not a terrible list. You would think there'd be a little bit more busts, you would think?
Yeah, I'd say it's about, there's what? Trubisky bust, Haskins bust, Sanchez bust. I would say Cam success. Murray
Sanchez
success.
Even still got to an AFC championship.
Got to two. We got
two
back to back.
So yeah, I know he's not what you wanted him to be, but.
Okay, so maybe don't call Sanchez a bust, although as a top 10 pick, I don't know if
he didn't live up to the hype.
He also had the butt fumble, which just ruined his career, man.
Tannehill also, I believe, was top 10. What right was he?
I think
number
he went eight?
Eight. Yeah, so. I would say I wouldn't call him a success just because, the 10th draft team probably didn't feel like he was a big success. But I would say Sanchez and Tannehill will call them pushes. So two busts, two successes with Trubisky, Newton, Haskins, and Murray. So something to keep an eye on for whatever team drafts Trey Lance. There's not been a lot of precedent for guys getting drafted with less games than he has, or fewer games, excuse me. Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith, Two receivers back-to-back. Michael Parsons at 9. Number 10, he has New England trading with Dallas.
Yeah,
New England moving up to get Justin Fields.
I mean, yeah, if he's there at 10, you got to make that move.
Yeah, the thought process is that New England is really in love with him. But that they might, you know, just not pay the price to move up if they have to move up inside the top 5 or whatever. That they might not do it, but if he gets a little bit lower, that they would be willing to move up for Fields.
I'm going to be so appalled if the Niners take Mac Jones.
I think this would be good for the Cowboys. You drop down to 15. You get J.C. Horn.
Yeah, J.C. Horn, apparently. He's becoming
rising
like one
up draft boards.
Yeah, he is. I see that a lot.
Well, I saw someone list
I didn't love him.
I saw someone list the receivers he went up against head-to-head.
He's a really good cover guy. Yeah, he's really good in coverage. When I was watching film on him, like, he's good coverage, good size, good speed, all that stuff. But for his size, you would want him to tackle better, and he was not great coming up to make tackles is my only knock on the guy and the fact that he's in the Horn family. But, yeah, I mean, like, he did go through the gauntlet a little bit of receivers. Like, he's played some really good ones, so. And he seems to be rising up draft boards a little bit, especially yep. with, you know, like Farley having that lingering injury, which, you know, he's going to be fine. It's still expected to go first round, but.
He has, on this mock draft, he's one spot after J.C.
Horn.
Horn
seems to be the number two guy now. Yep. And then you got Farley, and it's a whole mix of guys at the next corner spot, depending on who you ask.
What about them Titans? Who the Titans taking?
Number 22, Elijah Moore from Ole Miss.
Okay. Okay.
I have that.
A little slot receiver.
That's my mock.
I don't like that at 22.
He copied me.
I don't like that at 22.
Who would you rather have there?
Maybe make A.J. Brown happy. Get him I mean, Elijah Moore, is that not like a second-round talent? I've seen a lot of people talk about him being a second-round guy.
No, he's been a late first. A lot of buzz around there after his like pro days and stuff.
Okay.
He put up big numbers. And
I'm sure he ran a good 40 times.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely. Sure he did.
But, like, you know, in his the just playmaking potential there.
Is Bateman not better than him?
I would rather have Bateman, personally.
That's what I was saying. I would rather have Bateman. They have Bateman going 29th to the Packers.
Yeah, I would rather have him, but.
How good is this LSU guy?
Terrace Marshall?
Yeah.
I think he's pretty good. I think he's one of the more underrated guys in the draft. Just like he should be a first-round guy, but I've seen him.
Better than Moore?
Different style receiver, but, yeah, I would say, you know, he's more of the bigger receiver than, you know, Moore's just a small little slot guy that got the speed and quickness and things like that. But Marshall's pretty good. Like, I mean, we had quarterback play this past year at LSU. Probably didn't do him the
many
best
favors,
justice,
yeah.
But he's a solid guy. I mean, they just had studs there in their receiving core.
Okay.
He's kind of getting lost in the shuffle with how good of a receiving class this is.
Who the hell is this quarterback from Stanford, Davis Mills?
He's got him going in the second.
Yeah, number 51 to Washington.
I don't think he'll go that high, but there's a lot of buzz around him. I was hoping he'd be hanging around in the third or fourth, but.
Never heard of this guy. Davis Mills?
Like, who the hell is this?
No, he's about the consent. I wouldn't say consensus, but he's about the, like, after you get from, after Mac Jones, it drops off to about a whole little mix between him, Trask, and Mond seem to be the next few quarterbacks.
You talk about not playing any games. It says he's only played 14, which would be the fewest by drafted quarterback in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Yep. And he's still, he'll at least be gone by the mid rounds, like, probably about fourth.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, who would be the next in terms of the, like, quarterbacks out of the first round.
Yeah.
I guess I assumed it would be Kyle Trask, but I guess not. Okay.
What happened to Kadarius Toney to the Titans?
They have him going in the first pick of the second round to the Jaguars.
Okay, I have them taking Rondell Moore there. But, yeah, I think they're going to get one of those small, fast, playmaking kind of guys.
I kind of feel like I'd rather have Toney than Elijah Moore
too.
As well, but I don't know. I'm not going to act like I'm a draft expert. We'll see. Just whatever. Figure it out. See if they're any good.
Yeah. That's all you can
do.
That's
my motto. Yeah. Just, all right.
Everybody's usually wrong.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I'd say half the first round's good, half the first round's bad. So just line it up. We'll see.
There is going to be that bust wide receiver in the first round.
Oh,
just like that Jalen Reagor for the Eagles. They took him higher than Justin Jefferson, than T. Higgins, and he ended up being sort of the bust out of the group. So Elijah Moore could be maybe that bust guy.
Either way.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
In 1934, Knoxville TVA employed...
You guys seen this maniac that's been living in a shed for the last 100 days?
No.
Draven?
Oh. I don't even get that.
Yeah, come on, Hayden. Is that your best shot you got? Is that what you was waiting on, huh?
I don't even get it.
Weak.
This man has been living on a shed on his family's property since the start of the year and said he's going to be there for a year as he has dedicated his life to being wall art. His life is going to become wall art. I don't know exactly what that means, but says that
he's
going to
be wall art, or his life is wall art.
It just basically said this is an act of wall art. I don't know what the hell that means, but
act of wall art.
Like he's streaming all this like on TikTok, I guess. Oh, and
so he has internet and
other
stuff.
Places. Yeah, yeah. Like he's not really roughing it in the shed. It's like it's built to live in.
Okay.
But apparently he hasn't left for a year, or he's not going to leave all year. He hasn't left the first 100 days.
You can get deliveries and stuff.
Says he holds hands with his fiance through the window. He opens the window and she'll stand outside and they'll talk and he'll hold hands.
Still his fiance?
Well, he like can't step out the building at all. Not once.
Says
not
he
even
step out the building.
Not even for a breath of fresh air, nothing.
That's what he's saying, although he has windows, so I guess he can open the windows and get some quote unquote fresh air.
Okay.
I hate to break it to him, but that girl's either cheating on him or going to be very shortly.
Yeah, honey, do a whole year in here. It's fine. Yeah,
yeah. Don't come by the actual house. Yeah, it's all
cool. I'll come see you.
Yeah.
I'll come see you. He has now said he will stay in there for 10 years if he can raise $10 million.
So he's raising money right now?
I guess he's going to try to get people to do a pledge or, like, you know, raise money or somebody buy his art.
Is it good art?
I think his art is just him staying in the room.
That's
the art.
That's his expression. Yeah, that's his art can just be an expression, I guess.
Art's
according to him.
It's just an art form. Art can be anything, Dre.
His art is he is going
open
to
open up your mind.
Yep. He is going to shut himself off from the outside, I guess.
Draven's not cultured enough to understand
it. Yeah, you don't get it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Maybe Mr. Artsy Movie over here doesn't understand the art.
That makes perfect sense to you guys, though, huh? Yeah.
Maybe
that
when
makes
you get a little
sense.
Older, you'll understand it better. But his fiance supports him now. She brings him groceries through the window and sits there and will hold his hand.
Are people giving him money, like, right now?
Is she allowed to come in and join the art?
No. He has to be by himself.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what I'm doing, to be honest, he said.
No kidding.
There's elements of me just following hunches and wanting to make the world a better place.
This is doing it.
I guess. I don't know exactly how he's making the world a better place, but...
It's the thought that counts, you know?
I think it's very brave of him to say that he would do it for $10 million for another 10 years. It's very brave of him.
I'll pretend to do it for 10 years for $10 million.
Yeah, like who wouldn't do this? What are you over there stapling? Did you just pull a stapler out of your backpack?
Yeah. I didn't have time to do it that way.
Are you an office assistant? Like who carries a stapler around in their backpack?
I had to put it in my backpack because I needed to staple these, but I didn't have time to staple before I left today.
What do you mean you didn't have time to staple? You had time to grab the backpack but not just staple them there?
Yeah.
You had to have them in a certain order or something, or?
No, I just, like, grabbed the papers, just threw them in the backpack, and just, like, threw a stapler in there. I was like, I'll do it later.
Feels like that's something you could have easily done.
Yeah, well.
There at Tom. I've never seen someone just pull a stapler out of their backpack like that before.
Well, they have.
Now I have. I guess that is true.
For everything.
I was very confused as to what was going on over there. It's not even like one of those small staplers. That one's almost a full size one.
No, it's a small one.
No, not back in my day. The small staplers back in the day were like
a little tiny one.
They're like 2 inches
decent
at most.
Size
that's
one.
That's
a medium one.
That is medium.
Yeah.
I mean, just you know, completely eyeballing it with no frame of reference. That's a good 5 inches there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. I don't know, maybe like four.
Four and a half, probably. Depends where you measure from, I guess.
Yeah.
It's sturdy though. It's never messed up.
Well, don't jinx it.
2 years I've had it. Well,
all the years you've had it. How many years have you had it?
I said like 2 years.
Oh wow.
Handy dandy stapler.
But honestly, I don't really use it that much.
You know, I think that is. I guess that does come in handy. You got to staple stuff for class. I never thought of it. My teachers, we always put paper clips on ours. We ain't stable. We paperclipped ours. We're back to staples now in school?
No, paperclips are so much easier, man. Let's just stick to paperclips.
I don't like paperclips.
Wow. I was that kid that would like do the tear rip thing to make the paper still together.
You can't fold it over when there's a paperclip on it and like work like this.
What do you mean you can't fold it over?
Like this. You can't do this.
Oh, yeah. You take the paperclip off, but the papers don't get bent that way. Your papers are bent now.
Yeah. Mm.
And like, what if you're like trying to do something at the very top of the page, you can't see it? Or what if it's like front and back, and then you like flip it over?
You mean the very top corner you're trying to do something up there?
That's ever happened to you before?
No, I've never had something to do in the little tiny triangle.
Flip like three pages over and like flip them over, and it's going to be a little tough to write up there at the very top of it. Right there, just flip it over right there. It's going to be a little tough to write up there at the very top.
You're going to make it done. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I feel like whenever I staple a little bit lower.
It is more
papers.
On the back, though. Writing on the back with staple papers does suck.
Yeah, but on the top right, your hand's going to smash.
What are y'all talking about?
I mean, I'll be honest. Your stapler precision was pretty good. That's a pretty good staple. I go a little bit too low on mine, to be honest. Okay. Like, flip it back over. Like, all the way. No, just like all the way at the beginning. That's about as good of a stapling job as you can do. You can definitely tell you've had a stapler for 2 years. I would go a little bit too far down, like almost where like that red little box is there. Like right above is basically where my, like on the upper corner of that, the upper left-hand corner. That's about where my staple would be, another full inch. That's when you get in trouble when you're flipping the papers over. But I will acknowledge you're a pretty good stapler.
I've got a hole puncher too, John.
In your backpack right now?
No, my backpack. Okay. I'm not crazy.
Okay, yeah, just at your home?
Yeah, at my house. Okay. I honestly have not used it this year at all.
Wow.
I can't imagine why you would.
Well, for usually, like or something. For each class, I have like a binder or whatever. But now that everything's online, I don't really have to print anything out anymore. Oh, okay. So, but I had to print this out for this test today. So,
I think Hayden's more psychotic than this guy living in his shed right now. Just carrying around office supplies with him at all times.
It's art.
It's your form of art. It's your expression. Yeah. It was pretty cool to punch holes in things.
It was.
Trying to find the right medium of like how many papers you could put in there before it jams.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was always fun. You're playing a dangerous game there when you put in too many papers and it gets jammed. And then next thing you know, you got one hole, a half a hole, and no hole. Now you're trying to line it back up to get it to go in your thing.
Yeah.
Ooh, you're in trouble back then.
But then like the little bottom drops out of it and you got those little white circles then it gets all over the floor.
Yeah.
Jeez, I was just a degenerate. And I definitely just closed my papers in the binders and made the holes myself.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. That's what
you were just like. Everyone's done it before. Yeah, I knew we were in a jam, but it sounds like that's all Cam did.
Yeah, I would just open up the binder and just show them.
He's wrinkling up those papers.
He falls into the chaotic bad version. I guarantee Cam just had a backpack with no folders. He just just a bunch of loose leaf paper in there.
My teacher just gets so mad when I had a crumpled up paper. I was like, hold on.
Cam just digging through his backpack. He's like,
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wait, it's in the bottom. Yeah. It's in the bottom.
If I was your teacher, I'd be like, I'm not accepting this. I'm sorry. You're just a slight step above Usher with the fake money at strippers. You're just turning in wadded up papers. I think I just would be like, nope, sorry.
That was my way of lashing out at the education system.
The most chaotic thing I did was just, I think it was like sixth or seventh grade. Pretty much all throughout school, I refused to write my name anymore on the top of the paper. I simply just did J line R line. I just went with the signature up there. I was like, they'll figure it out.
They get mad about it?
They tried a couple of times, but I just committed to it.
Gotta hold firm.
I was like, I'm not writing my name anymore. It's a waste of time. J line R. You'll figure it out.
I bet you felt pretty cool, didn't you?
I felt like I was saving time. I felt like I was rebelling against the norm.
Yeah.
I felt that way, yes.
Tough guy over here, not writing his full name. I bet all the other students just feared you, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
Like, look at this crazy guy over here.
Line R line, that's it. That's it. I mean, it's better than just taking paper and making your own holes in your binders on them. What's wrong with this guy?
I was like, why get up and go to the hole punch when I could just shove it through the binder thing? It's still making holes.
You should have made friends with Hayden.
He'd
have brought you a whole punch and got it done. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Let's go back.
NFL inform clubs today, any team employee who refuses a COVID-19 vaccination without bona fide medical or religious ground will be barred from Tier 1 or Tier 2 status.
Wow. Barred, you say?
Yep. Which means they won't be able to work with any of the players, per sources. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just an incentive to get as many people vaccinated as they can so we can, you know, get back to normal a little bit.
Forcing the vaccination on people, I guess, is scary, although they're saying, like, hey, you can still work with the team, you just want to work with the players. So,
and it's a job where they work with people. I feel like it's just your employer being like, hey.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, other employees can do that too, right? I mean.
Yeah, I think to an extent.
I don't know what the rules are there, but it's a privilege, I guess.
I mean, you got to get vaccinated to go to school. You know, you got to have
Yeah, I mean, we've had to show, like, the smallpox like vaccination and stuff, yeah. Right? Like, going to school. Or is that true? Because, I mean, there are anti-vaxxers out there. Do you have to have...
You know, there's the people that have the religious stuff religious. And things, but most people, yeah. And you have to have, like, proof for the religion. Like, there's people that will try and claim it, but, yeah, there's, like, proof you have to provide and things like that. But, yeah, there's standard vaccinations you have to have, you know, just because, yeah, you don't want to put... They don't want to put the other kids at risk. That's kind of what this is, just that. Don't want to put the players at risk and want to be able to, you know, go back to normal NFL stuff and not have to worry about it.
It's a tough time for that to come out, though.
What do you mean?
I mean, just with the blood clot stuff today, I mean, people are going to be more nervous about getting it.
At least with that one, right? It was the J&J one? Yeah, that's the one you got, Cam, right?
Yeah.
You nervous?
No. I'm built different.
Cam's probably fine.
Yeah, I'm not worried about
it. And blood clots are scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was supposed to get it today. That was weird, but...
So you're not getting... Oh, I guess I got halted, so you can't get it.
No, I literally woke up to register for my classes this morning, and I got on Twitter for a second. I saw where Virginia had halted the stop due to FDA and CDC
sure.
claims, and then, was it 5 minutes later, I got the email saying that they canceled the clinic for today on campus. So...
Am I wrong? I mean, blood clots are pretty hard to, like, identify, right? Or is that because, I mean, you had, like, Caris LeVert who had blood clots and was still playing and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, I think it's just something you don't know unless you'll get checked, basically.
Okay.
So, like, I would say that my guess, and I haven't read enough about this to maybe talk about it, but it feels like it's probably a situation where you either had somebody complain and get, like, a test done. Because, I mean, I think if you have blood clots, I think you can feel fatigued, like if the oxygen's not flowing the right way. But also, mm-hmm. there's probably somebody that just had, like, a control group from these.
Yeah.
That might have had somebody watch them, but they said, like, what, six people turned up with blood clots?
Hmm. Yeah.
Which, I feel like that's an underreported number.
It's true, too.
I don't know. So the NFL saying, got to get the vaccination if you're going to work with their players. NFL, I guess it makes sense. You don't want players having to worry about, you know, who's there with them.
Yeah, and you know, they probably want to go back to, you know, normal protocols instead of, you know, all the COVID protocols they've been going through. And if everybody's vaccinated, I feel like you feel more comfortable and liabilities down to go back to, you know, just being fully.
Now, my question is, are they going to make the players get vaccinated? If the coaches have to get vaccinated to work with players, will the other players have to be vaccinated?
I would think they're going to try and really most of them to do it.
Well, I don't think they're going to be able to force the players to get it. Like, I would think that would fall under, like, the CBA and, like, players having a right to that. Yeah. Like, I don't – because, I mean, like, the NBA, like, isn't forcing guys to get vaccinated. They want as many players to get vaccinated as possible, but, like
– Yeah, I don't think they can force it, but I think it's going to be, like, highly suggested. And I think there's going to be lots of, like, incentives and stuff, too.
Because with these coaches, they're not, like, losing their job. Like, they're like, hey, you can still be a coach. You just can't be a tier one or two employee. You can go – I mean, I don't know if that means you're, like, you're just breaking down film now. You're up
you
in the
have
booth.
To. You have to get the vaccine. Like, there's no other. Yeah, like, there's no other way around it. You can't be there.
And the owner and the head coach isn't going to let it slide. Like you're not going to be. You're not going to be. You know, doing your job the way you should be doing it. With the players, though, like I don't think they could force that because. But at the same time, there's only one job. You know, like they can't say, well, you can't be a player around other players, because you know to play the sport, you have to be around other players. Strange.
It does say, let's see, as conversations with the NFLPA continue on thresholds at which protocols on testing, travel, et cetera, can be relaxed. So is that saying, like, NFLPA wants to relax these kind of forcing of?
Well, I would say, yeah, the NFL players, like, don't want to be forced into anything. Yeah. Yeah. Like, again, I don't know who are taking care of the coaches when it comes to, like.
I was about to say, dude, I guess they don't have, like, representation here, do they? I guess they're kind of on their own,
it
right?
It doesn't seem like. I've never heard of, like, the coaches' union.
Right.
I'm not saying they don't have one, but I've never heard of it. It's never really a talking conversation. I didn't think the players would be able to be forced to. So it sounds like the NFLPA kind of agrees. They don't want to force this in.
Yeah.
For whatever reasons. Because, A, it seems like it would be a pretty big liability if you forced a guy to get a vaccination and then he gets blood clots. Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of like how some of these guys have been, like, hesitant to, like, endorse it. Like, LeBron James never, like, would endorse it and say what he's doing. He could have, you know, told a lot of people to go get vaccinated. He's like, I don't want to comment on that. Because you don't want to be the guy that tells people to get vaccinated and then something happens and somebody dies. So, like.
Well, couldn't you say the same thing for the coaches who are older and and not as good a shape as the athletes? I feel like they're at much more risk.
Well, again,
when it comes
they're not
making
them get it. They're just saying you won't be able to work with the players.
Yeah, you won't be able to do your job at all. So.
Yeah, which I don't know, like, you know, if the owners and the other coaches be like, yeah, it's cool, like, you can just be, you know, doing this today. You can call the defense from up in the booth.
I guess that's true.
Like, I don't know what they're. It's one of those things, like, well, yeah, it's a voluntary practice, but you better be there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're on a team sport, like, literally. No, it's not mandatory at all, but if you're not there, we'll notice. AKA, you better get your ass there. No, we're not forcing you to get the vaccine. But yeah, you're going to be we're going to put you on janitor duty if you don't. You're now a building maintenance man. Yeah, no, you're still employed. Don't worry about it. Your contract's over at the end of the year, right? Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll discuss that when it comes time. Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. We'll have some headlines for you. Play some Tuesday trivia. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.